sports listeners. I'm your host, Erica, the Queen of Teen. Please tune in
every single Tuesday.
This whole hour of Santa Barbara Teen Athletes. Woo! And we're talking all athletes. Welcome, everybody. Woo! Landed on Teen Sports Radio. Yeah, we're global. We hit a great milestone last week, especially on SoundCloud. We almost had 700 downloads. I was happy about that. 700! Okay?
That's pretty good.
This is good.
Yeah.
All right. Dr. May, should I give you credit for that? I don't know. In Rome, Dr. May, talk to me.
Oh, congratulations on the 700 downloads. That's amazing.
That's right. I like it. Made me feel good. I'm like, wow, is this a mistake? I just kept tapping the phone. You know what I'm saying? Tap, tap, tap. So anyway, we've got in the house this week, we got Don Sanders, Christine Marie, of course, our I don't want to say prodigy, because then you got to have this big, you know, expectation of who this kid is. But he is an author. He's a teen. Ryan Quirk is in the house. We're going to go through his book. I'm excited. Every single week we hit a chapter. We're on chapter 3 this week, Understanding Your Inner Energies. Woo! An 18-year-old's guide to self-mastery. You had breakfast with him this morning, Dr. D. How is he? Does he have good table manners? What? Did he pay?
Has excellent table manners. And of course, I'll make it public. Thank you very much for breakfast this morning. It was wonderful and great conversation and good synergy there. And I'm looking forward to having him on my program next week. That's right. We're going to talk about his book and the work that he's doing at the ripe old age of 19. Even though the book is entitled An 18-Year-Old, et cetera, et cetera. But thank you again. It was great.
Did you guys talk about me at all? Just saying. Because I have self-esteem issues. That's his next book. Okay? Self-esteem. Okay.
There you go.
You can interview me.
There you go.
Isn't that funny? Oh, we hear all this laughter in the background. And who's laughing right now is a really dear friend of my youngest, John. Caleb Richie's in the house. He's going to be our guest this beautiful morning. How you doing, Caleb?
Doing great, Erica. Thanks for having us.
Woo! Okay, so this is what we've set up for you, okay? We got the mental aspect. We're going to talk about what you're going to be doing here in town. And then yes. We also have just loaded in. He's driving up to Santa Barbara, and I told him to pull over. We got future Dr. Sky Ellsworth and his wife, Sonia Ellsworth, and they are going... They're in halfway through chiropractic school, right? So when I told him to jump in today and I explained to him, your tables are too short. These kids are 6'7", okay? 6'8". And I said, can you handle that? Sky!
Yep, that is what you said. Yep, we can handle that.
That's what I'm saying. Well, I figure you got the couple, right? So you can work on the top half. That's about what? 4 foot, whatever that is. So you do like head to torso, and then Sonia can do what, buttocks down. I don't know. You're going to need two people. That's all I know.
Thank you. Thank you.
What can I say? It doesn't stop. It doesn't stop at all. Woo! Nick Jaden is in the house. Let's get to him. SB360 up next.
Thank you, Erica. I'm Nick Jaden, and this is your SB360 weekly sports recap. Starting off with our UCSB baseball, the Gauchos took on the UCLA Bruins this Tuesday and lost in extra innings. The game went to the 12th inning, where the Bruins ended up hitting a walk-off run in the bottom of the 12th. However, the Gauchos did play San Jose State on March 28th, which was a Thursday, and the Friday, so they had a doubleheader. They ended up winning both of those games, so they had a pretty successful week overall. However, they did drop out of the top 25 Division I rankings, so hopefully next week they will crack their way back into the top 25. Moving to UCSB softball, they had a busy week as they had 4 games. They played against UC San Diego and had 3 games against Cal Poly. In the game versus UC San Diego, they won 4-1. In the 3 games against Cal Poly, they lost 2 and won the last game, which was on Friday, March 29th. Their overall record is now 11-19 and have a 5-4 record in conference. Hopefully, the Gauchos can put together a nice win streak towards the end of the season so they can put themselves in the best position to make the playoffs. Now, UCSB men's volleyball. They had 2 games this past week against number 5 seeded Hawaii. They ended up losing both games. However, there was a new career high set. where Bianchi had 32 kills in a 5-set battle with Hawaii. However, like I said, they did end up losing this game when their next being against UC San Diego this Friday. So the Gauchos will look to pick up their first conference win and hopefully just secure a few more wins along the way before their season ends April 13th, this next Saturday against CSUN. Switching schools, we now take a look at the Westmont Warriors baseball team, where they had four games against Hawaii Hilo. They ended up beating the Vulcans four out of the four times they played them, with scores of 11-3, 10-1, 6-1, and 8-2. So the pitchers and hitters for the Warriors stayed hot in all those four games. The Warriors will take on Point Loma this Tuesday at 11 a.m. and at 7 p.m. So there's a doubleheader, their next series against Fresno Pacific. So the Warriors will look to stay hot and have a strong ending to their regular season and put themselves in a great position for their playoffs. Sticking with the theme of baseball, the SBCC Vaqueros had a busy week as well. They went 2-2 in this past week, and they played against Glendale, West Hills, Coligna, and Riverside. They ended up splitting games between Glendale and one against West Hills. They will next play L.A. Pierce this week, Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday. They'll hope to get back on track as they have an 8-4 record in conference and a 16-11 record overall. The Vaqueros softball team had a successful week. They played against the Oxnard Condors and beat them 7-0. Elena Johnson had herself quite the game. She pitched all seven innings and only gave up two runs while also striking out five batters. The Vaqueros will look to have the same success they did against Oxnard against Ventura this Tuesday. Their next game will also be at Santa Monica and Reedley this Friday. So good luck to our Vaqueros. The men's volleyball team was able to end their week in a good way. They beat El Camino, and their next game is against Moore Park and L.A. Pierce. This will wrap up the Vaquero seasons as they are at 4-5 in conference right now. So hopefully with these three games left, they can win all three and make the playoffs. If not, however, it will look like the chances for the Vaqueros making the playoffs are quite dim. Wrapping it up with women's beach volleyball, they continue to dominate the competition as they took on Ventura and Bakersfield on Friday. They ended up beating Bakersfield 5-0 and Ventura 3-2. Their record now moves to 6-0 in conference, so they remain perfect. Their next meet is against Santa Monica and Moore Park at Santa Monica. So the Vaqueros will look to stay perfect as they continue to stroll during their conference record. Thank you so much for listening to your SB360 Weekly Sports Recap. I'm Nick Jaden, and hopefully next time we can get Ella Matchett back from Texas. She's been there for way too long now, so hopefully she will be on the next show. Sending it back to you, Erica.
Thank you, Nick. Hey, I want to do a little shout here on the high school level. I picked up on this a few days ago. Got to give a big shout to Lauren Weeks, okay, out of Bishop Diego High School softball. She absolutely killed it. They did beat Foothill 21-4, but wow, she did it. What a week, okay, for her. I don't know what she ate. Got to write it all down and put it on repeat. So basically 4-for-5 at the plate, a homer, a double, two singles, 7 RBIs, and 4 runs scored. What? That's amazing. Oh, my goodness. So she also picked up the win in the circle, tossing 2 innings and allowing just 1 earned run. So holy cow. Also, Anna, Tara, Madeline, and Chelsea, they all had good games as well, collecting multi-hit performances for Bishop. So thank you guys. Wow, keep it up. All right, I love that one. That's called smoking, Dr. D. That's called smoking.
Absolutely.
Woo! All right, let's take a. Oh, guess what we got? We're gonna have Christine Marie opening us up with Caleb Ritchie right after these messages. Burn.
It's Santa Barbara Teen Sports Radio Show. I am your host, Erica, the Queen of Teen. Please tune in
every single Tuesday at
9 a.m.
Welcome back. This is Christine Marie with A View from the Deck, and I'm here to introduce Caleb Ritchie.
Woo! Everybody put your hands together, and I'm not the only one clapping. There you go. So what we're going to do really fast, Caleb, you don't know Christine Marie, but she does do a view from her deck. She's our intuitive counselor, okay?
Nice,
and it's all
you,
about the deck, all right? So she's got her deck, all right? So feel it. Feel the deck, okay? You and her, I'm going to stop talking. Go ahead.
There you go. So put your intention in the deck. Do. And then I'm going to let me know when you want me to stop shuffling.
Stop.
Okay. And then do you want me to pick from the bottom, the top, or the bottom, the top, or the middle?
Middle.
Okay. So do you want me to pick from this part, or from the bottom of this one, or the top of this one?
Top.
Top. Okay.
Okay. Here we go. Drum roll.
Oh, actually, these are my clear cards, but here we go. This is the Six of Cups. And it's about good memories, especially good childhood memories. It's about in the Rider-Waite deck, it's a little boy on bended knee giving a little girl flowers. In the deck that I work with, here it's, you know, someone giving a cup to a child. Yes. And then in the deck I work with, it's a boy and a girl playing in the water, like pouring cups of water into, you know, sharing cup, like each. Mm-hmm. And so it really is about good memories, good feelings, good emotions that are coming for you right now. That's that. Yes.
I love it.
Oh, that's kind of true. You're back home right now, Caleb. Right?
Oh yeah.
Yes,
that's it.
Absolutely.
They found you in a basket on the slough, okay, when you were a baby. Santa Barbara's embraced you. So why don't you do this? Why don't you tell us your story? Because you have a great story.
Yeah, so I grew up, I'm actually born in Santa Barbara, California. I spent most of my childhood in the South, in Coldwater, Mississippi, small town. And, you know, kind of dealing with poverty, being in poverty, type of things that, you know, the world doesn't see or hear about a lot. And, you know, I was fortunate enough to move back down to Santa Barbara when I was 13 and met some great people. Shout out to the Lash family who took me.
We love the Lashes.
You know, they pretty much blessed my life, which helped me to blessing my family's life. You know, shout out to my family, the Richies, the Hills, my little brother Eli, and, you know, just kind of guiding everyone. And pretty much, you know, I attended Bishop Diego, graduated, ended up playing at Cal Lutheran University for a year and receiving my bachelor's degree in criminology and criminal justice. And, you know, it's, again, the journey's been long and hard, but it's been fun. And as you can see, I'm always smiling. So as you can tell.
That's a traumatized child. I smile a lot, too. There's a lot of trauma.
So I embraced every step of the way. And now that I'm back, I'm, you know, trying to give back to the next generation and, you know, to kind of teach them about basketball and life without basketball. So.
Now, you played overseas too. Talk about that, since Dr. May is in Rome. Where'd you play?
Yes. After graduating, I spent 5 years playing professionally overseas, Europe, Middle East, Asia. And, you know, those experiences were different because it kind of put it into perspective how, I guess I was, I tell everyone else, like, I felt ungrateful when I was there because I was always like, oh, I can't wait to get out of Santa Barbara, or I can't wait to do this. And then I kind of realized, like, yeah, Santa Barbara is not as bad as I thought it was, you know? But those, you know, meeting new friends overseas was pretty cool. Honestly, I did love the experience a lot. And, I'm glad I'm back so I can kind of teach the younger generation, you know, about life. Because, you know, it's people think we have it hard here, but it's a lot harder over in Europe and the Middle East and Asia for sure.
Wow, that's beautiful. So what's the dream? What are we doing now? How can we help you?
So I'm back in the Santa Barbara. I'm going to help coach at Bishop with Coach James and Isaiah Ville. Great people. Isaiah Ville, you know, runs some of the Page Youth Center, well-known. Coach James, great coach, has won CIF two years ago, should have won the year before. You know, I want to help. We all want to help and kind of came together and tried to help the program out. And so I've been training, coaching the next generation of ballers. Started an AAU team, Amateur Athletic Union, which is, you know, it gives them a chance to build relationships, make friends, learn from different coaches, travel, and even teaches them life lessons. I'm looking for kids who think they're the best in Santa Barbara. Even the overlooked, the underdogs, the ones who know they can compete with those, you know, 3, 4, 5 stars. They're always hungry to prove they're really like that. And I love competing. I still love competing. And I know how it feels. I know how it felt when I was their age, because I was once in their shoes and I know what it takes. And I played against 3 stars, 4 stars, 5 stars. So I know how it feels. I just hope they're ready for the work that my practices consist of, because I'm basically, my training and things are college and pro training, and also mindsets, you know, because playing in college, and I learned you have to be consistent and disciplined in college and in the pros. And if you want to play on the next level, you need to be that in high school as well. And I was never taught that. And I want to teach my players that so that they have a chance to succeed, because I've accomplished so much without a guidance. And now that I can guide them because of what I've been through, it's going to make their job and make their process so much easier, because I've been where they're trying to get to. And I know what it takes. I know how it feels. And I'm not just all about basketball. Again, my AAU program is called 805 Academy. So we teach on and off the court, because although basketball is, they love basketball, and as kids right now, that's all they think about. But, you know, it's important to want to get your bachelor's degree, graduate from college, and, you know, get a great job, because basketball will stop, and it will. You can't play for forever. And, you know, I just want them to understand that life after basketball is beautiful. And that way you can start a foundation. And then once they're done with basketball and school, now they can get back to the next generation younger than them. So that's what I'm trying to do. So I'm trying to teach.
Let me ask you this. What do you think with the whole NIL? What do you think it's done to the game? Has it changed the game? I mean, you know, we're losing a lot of great coaches right now, or retiring or exiting out. I think it's good for the game, but that's my own personal opinion, because there's so much money, and I think it's just it's distributing it. You know, not every, but, I mean, how many guys were talking about that it's really affecting on the NIL?
I believe it's a little bit of both, good and bad, because, you know, you give someone that young with that much money, they're bound to do something. They're bound to do something. And they also probably have some of them don't have a good circle around them. It's more of just people who want to take, you know, not give. So in that perspective of it, yes, it's a bad. But the good thing is, it's like, you know, they work hard. Like, you know, so I feel like they should be rewarded.
Right. But I like, what level? It's just like, I mean, you have the college that they're not getting paid. You can't. Can they get paid right now to join clubs, or how does that work? I mean,
I don't.
Like, where's the money coming from? Top, bottom?
It's really college. It's really college like. I'm not sure if they do that in high school. I highly doubt that. I think that's against the rules. But I know in college, that's where it starts. You know, and I'm hoping I can, you know, land some of my players in NIL deals. That'd be nice. I think the players that I've been, you know, coaching and looking at, I believe they have what it takes. But I don't want their focus to be that.
Right.
Because the, you know, you're only good as the work. You only go as far as the work you put in. And, right. You know, I want them to worry about their craft and school. Don't worry about that. That's going to, the money and things, that's going to come with it. As long as you're working and you're staying on the right path, the rest will follow.
So this, you have lined up a couple of kids. You want to talk about that, or we got to keep a lid on that?
Oh, well, we'll keep a lid on that. I think
we're going to keep a lid on it.
Yeah, I think we'll keep a lid on that. I think I'm just hoping everybody wants to come and watch a Bishop basketball.
There you go. Excellent. Oh, thank you so much, Caleb. Stick around. We've got a lot more. We're going to have some
cool
with Don Sanders right after these messages.
Ignite the light and let it shine just on the night like the 4th of July. Because, baby, you're a firework. Come on, show them what.
Santa Barbara Teen Sports Radio Show. I am your host, Erica, the Queen of Teen. Please tune in
every single Tuesday,
9 a.m.
For Teen Sports Radio, I'm Don Sanders, donsmassageohi.com, here to bring you a hygge. A hygge is a Scandinavian term for a comfy, cozy feeling, which may be sort of like receiving a physical hug without actually receiving the hug. And my hygge moment this past week since we last met here on these airways is that I became a grandfather.
Aww.
And after being a lonely only myself and not having a dad and such, my grandson, which my daughter and son-in-law have named Fitzgerald Warren Forbes, he's being born into... lots, you know, rolling deep in family and aunties and uncles and a lot of things I didn't get to grow up with. So I'm excited for his beginnings, you know, and we get to meet him in the next couple of days. We've been watching from the sidelines here for the first couple of days, let them get settled and such. He was a home birth with a midwife and a doula. So Very excited to become a grandpa. I haven't known either of my grandpas, so I'll be making this up as I go along. And, you know, growing up and only, I experienced a lot of disappointments and a lot of holes where I could have used support. And so when I was about 27, I met a mentor in life, an international teacher of Buddhism, Daisaku Ikeda. And my wife has been, we've been 25 years married. She's been practicing for 50 years. I've been practicing for 40 years. And so whatever else he gets from his parents, I'm hoping to give the little grandson, some background I didn't get, like experiencing failures and disappointments, frustrations, illness. People often lose confidence and they let fear overtake them and they may not share that with anybody. But at such times, if you make a conscious effort and you say, next time I'll succeed, even if you don't feel a lot of confidence in it, or you keep saying to yourself, I'm going to get better and make it through this, you've already won. And I didn't realize this so much as a young man, but by changing this inner state of mind, we can change any kind of suffering or any kind of hardship we've experienced into a source of joy. So that is a point of view that I've fortunately been able to ingrain into my life over these last 40 years. And, you know, a lot of people have an image of a Buddha as a static being, maybe sitting in lotus position, floating on a lily pad. That isn't real. A Buddha is somebody who shares sufferings with others, senses the conditions of the time, and just, you know, makes a determination to try and help people get through and get onto a better place. The strength of that vow turns what we sometimes think of as enlightenment into a source of rich wisdom. So anyway, I just wanted to, I'm not sure everybody knew about my recent transition to grandpahood. So anyway, I was just going to ask anybody have any thoughts based on anything I said?
Nice. Dr. May.
Well, first of all, congratulations on becoming a grandfather. This Thank is you. Wonderful. I loved my grandfather so much. He basically raised me. And I will never forget, you know, the beautiful moments that we spent together in my childhood. So that really, you know, like my father figure wasn't so strong. So my grandfather was like even like a bigger, like male figure in my life. So yes, I believe it's a great opportunity for you and for your grandson, of course, to you know, experience life together.
Nice. You know, I want Dr. May to touch on the part where he said, you know, being an only child and seeking out the disappointments. I mean, it's nice that he actually found that person, that mentor. But, you know, you have to reach out and want something like that. Talk about that part of what he was talking about. We have to learn that, you know, it's okay not to be okay. And when you need something, you got to go put out there that you this is what you need and this is what you want. You follow what I'm saying?
Yes, absolutely. I can relate because I was also growing up as an only child and I felt lonely most of my life, basically, unfortunately. And I wasn't so lucky to meet a mentor as Dawn had, but I had to kind of become my own mentor. I had to take all the information I could. Thank God now it's available through the internet. It wasn't like that when I was a child, but right now it's available. So, yes, it's okay to be okay. It's important to believe that you can get better. And basically you're becoming your own healer, your own helper, your own mentor. And you just seek whatever information that can help you and can help you get better.
Yeah. Nice. We have in the house also, we've got Sky and Sonia Ellsworth. And Sky, you had a unique beginning as well. You were not an only child, but you were raised with two siblings that were blind. And that's so unique. I mean, it was working at the Braille, and then it falls right into you working over at the Braille Institute after a couple of other occupations. But, I mean, that was a perfect fit because nobody on the planet would know what it would be. I mean, what a resume that was. That was a walk-in job, definitely.
Yeah, it was. And, you know, my siblings, even though they are visually impaired, they're so much older. So they were off in college when I was growing up. So I kind of had the experience of growing up as an only child. And that was, you know, that was interesting, but it was always good. Wherever I went, no matter what, I always had family and I always trusted that would work out. So, you know, when I moved to Santa Barbara, I was alone for quite a bit, but, you know, I was able to trust in myself and have the confidence that things would work out the way that they needed to. And, you know, that's when I, you know, met you, Erica, and Dominique and Christine. And, you know, I was able to forge that sense of family unit that, you know, are still strong family people, you know, today that I get to have, you know, surround me. And you know, that's magical. But, you know, that I feel like it's always going to happen that way, you know. So even in a situation where maybe you're an only child or maybe you are feeling like a little bit lonely, like those are the times to find your own strength. But the universe is always going to give you exactly what you need when you have that trust. Right. And that trust is the opposite of fear. But, you know, when we build community and connections, those very quickly become your family, the people that you resonate with. And those connections are almost even more important.
Sonia, were you an only as well? You were an only child or no?
No, I have three brothers and three sisters.
Oh, well, that was a complete fail on my part. Thank you. Okay. So you don't have nothing to add then. She was doing this lonely only thing. I have nine siblings. Hi, Christine.
I have one sister, but what I wanted to mention was there's, you know, there's the family we're born with, and then there's the family also that we create when we go out into the world. And that does happen. You know, there's the people we're born into, and then there's the people we do resonate and connect with. And with when we're lucky, we can also, we're in good relationships with all of those families, right? Our current family and the family we were born into. But I think there's always, life always brings us more opportunities to connect and build relationships with people.
Yeah, it's definitely, there's a spiritual, I totally believe. As a matter of fact, I've said this, I'm not to be mean, but I really do have always felt that DNA was slightly overrated. Right, Caleb? A little overrated on the DNA. You know what I mean?
Yes.
You gotta go out and make your own tribe.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
There you go. So, all right, let's do this. We got a minute, but I want to just jump. I want to cut it short, and we're going to do stretch, fill up some coffee, because we got the Ellsworths is in the house. They want to hit back on the road. They're looking at me. They're out of coffee. So let's get with Sky and Sonia after these messages.
I hear a song that takes me back, and I let go with so much
and this is Santa Barbara Teen Sports Radio Show. I am your host, Erica, the Queen of Teen. Please tune in
every single Tuesday,
9 a.m.
Welcome back, everyone. This is Sky and Sonia Ellsworth, and we are students at Life Chiropractic College West. And today we want to talk to you a little bit about the type of chiropractic that we do that's called, we both do slightly different techniques, but we also both do something called network and receive care and network spinal analysis, which originally was created as an analysis system to determine when the body is ready for an adjustment and what type of adjustment the body is ready for. But it is recently, not terribly recently, but it's become a technique. It's evolved into something that's not just a form of analysis, but something that is a technique to help someone to release trauma patterns or subluxation patterns. So a subluxation is when a vertebra goes out of balance. And most people think about that, you know, maybe they're, you know, playing on the field on a court and, you know, they fall, something goes out of whack, their back just isn't the same, and they go into a chiropractor and they have that segment moved back. And that is an incredible use of chiropractic. But at the same time, the idea is that our body should be able to reorganize these patterns on our own as long as there are stressors or tension patterns that are holding the vertebrae out of place. So this particular form of chiropractic moves breath and energy through the body, through the muscles, the kinetic energy that makes your muscles work, right? Move that energy through the system in a way that releases or loosens the tension around the bones that help them come back into place on their own when they're ready, right? A lot of people go to a chiropractor and they get a little bit, I don't know, they can have a fight or flight response afterwards. You'd be like, oh my God, I'm never going to a chiropractor again because they just yanked my head to the side and I heard a loud pop or whatever. And that happens when the body's not ready to receive that. Sometimes the body is ready to receive that, but a lot of times it's not. So the form of chiropractic that we do, this network, is about the right timing. So, but it also, because it's working on these subtle levels, it's working with the brain patterns directly. So it involves very light contacts to areas of nerves, and those areas will light up and send a signal to a certain part of the brain that will activate that part of the brain that may not have been activated in a while. And you form new thought patterns, new behaviors, you become more adaptable, you release old patterns so that you can merge into new ways of being and existing. And it's pretty powerful. So let's say, for instance, someone goes through a really rough breakup, or they lose a game and, you know, they're really unhappy about it, or you get home from school and your parents are in a bad mood and they yell at you about something and, you know, you're in a bad place and you're holding on to something, and your body reacts to that. You can go receive this form of chiropractic, move a little breath and ease through the system, and come at that situation from a different angle where you have a little bit more energy. Right. There's a lot of talk in chiropractic about being energy rich versus energy poor, and also where you're pulling your resources from. Network does something where it heightens the observer, where you're able to kind of look at yourself from outside of yourself. You're able to, without any bias, look at your behaviors and your thought patterns and the things that you're saying and say, okay, this is what this is actually coming from. Is this a behavior that I want to keep? Is this a reaction I want to continue having? Or can I let this go and move on and pursue a path that has a little bit more freedom? And that is something that everybody needs, right? And especially when you're a teen and when you're an athlete, you need to be able to have more energy that's available to you. You need to have that breath moving through the full length of the spinal cord, the energy moving through all of your muscles to release that tension. That way everything is lubricated. You have access to abundant stores of energy and you can achieve the goals that you want to, whether it's at home, in your personal life, at school, on the fields, wherever it may be.
So what we're saying, Caleb, he's got a guy who's like, you know, he can dunk a tennis ball, but he's never getting up high enough. Then you can say, you know, you got to let it go. You got to let that tension go. Then you do your little thing. Okay. And then all of a sudden, go, boom, smash. How do you feel that? Do you think that's the direction? I will say this. You did come up this last weekend. I did have a headache. And you did work on me on the table. And honestly, I would have bet that, yeah, right, you're not going to fix this headache. I don't know. Maybe I wanted to hold on to it. But within, I would say, 10, 12, 15 minutes, I mean, I did look at you. And I'm like, my headache is gone. And the weekend before, I had such a bad migraine. I had dry heaves. So you get scared if you get migraines when you get that low-grade headache, because it could go from low-grade to, you know, bury myself in my room. If anybody has migraines, you get it. So I will honestly say, if anybody has had migraines or they want to try a different experience, I'm not a doctor or whatever, but yes, thank you for that. That really did work. And I wasn't a believer, as you know, okay?
This is Christine Marie. I have an experience. Like I've received this type of care for many, many years. And the very first time I went to this doctor that I'm at right now, he adjusted me. It's called an entrainment. So he entrained me on the table. Nothing happened on the table, but I went home that night and I got into bed and I was lying on my side. And all of a sudden I had this urge to move my shoulder around and around, and then it clicked and I went, oh, thank God. And then I turned over to the other side and moved my shoulder and my other arm around and around, and that clicked. And that was it for me. My body adjusted itself, and I knew it had to do with the entrainment that I had that morning. And that was, you know, I've been with them ever since, because it's really aligning me and connecting me in with my body, and all the other work that I've done and healing work and different things has really helped me integrate those things. So it's a really powerful modality that I definitely appreciate.
I like it when you said healing me, because it is, you know, the body and the mind, it's almost a spiritual, you're getting reconnected. That's what I see between both of you. I mean, I've learned so much and I so appreciate it, because I raised my kids through chiropractic and doctor in town here with Dr. Schroeder. I mean, I was a standing appointment for 7 years, pretty much, between both of my boys, because that's the right. But this whole network is just a little different. I mean, it's not the same. Yeah. It's different. I mean, it's chiropractic care, yes, but I like what you're doing, because, I mean, I'd be on the table with Sky and it's like, oh, it's like he could pick out the tender spots. And I'm like, yeah, you barely touched me. How'd you know where it was? It's kind of weird. It's almost, I don't want to say, like,
yeah.
It's not really touch, you know, it's not really if, you know, you just throw yourself on the table, you know, you're leaving all your clothes on, everything like this. And then, you know, he muscle tests me and, you know, that adjusted me just on the muscle test, you know.
Well, so, you know, it's interesting, because I wasn't able to take traditional chiropractic treatments. I was raised on chiropractic as well. But before I came, I had done some network chiropractic a few years before. But before I came to this one, I had been in a car accident and I was getting adjusted, but I couldn't get adjusted. It would take me 3 days to recover from an adjustment. So I wasn't letting anybody adjust me until I went and they entrained me. So it's really just pushing points and having me stretch. And those stretches allow my body to adjust itself either in that moment or, you know, later, like my first experience. It's pretty powerful.
Yeah. So who do you recommend here in town? Because Sky doesn't have a license yet. Neither does Sonia.
I recommend Relatio Chiropractic. It's Dr. Skylar Dubordeaux and Giovanna Dubordeaux, actually. They're wonderful. Relatio Chiropractic. And they even actually, I think they have a Groupon. You can check out Groupon. They have Groupons every once in a while to do get their, you know, come in and get a whole workup. But they're amazing.
Awesome. All right. We got a little bit of show left. Stay tuned for Ryan Quirk right after these messages. Teen Sports Radio Show. I am your host, Erica, the Queen of Teen. Please tune in
every single Tuesday,
9 a.m.
All righty. Welcome back, Teen Sports Radio. I'm Ryan Quirk, author of An 18-Year-Old's Guide to Self-Mastery, How to Master Your Life from the Inside Out. And it provides a lot of tools that anyone can benefit from, whether you're a young athlete, whether you're a parent, an adult, really anyone, to master your mind, master your body, and master your life. And so today we're going to be talking about your inner environment and how that relates to your performance in any arena of your life and your performance on and off the field, right? So in your inner environment, there's really only two things we need to really focus on. You have what I call two inner energies, which is you have thoughts and you have emotions. You have a mind and you have a heart. You have beliefs and you have feelings. Those are all the same kind of words to describe the same thing. And what happens is they feed off of one another. So just as a scientist might study the external world and its properties, you can actually begin to observe your inner world and see, you know, what thoughts and beliefs am I entertaining? And how is it affecting my emotions? And for me, I was a hockey player in high school, and I found that my performance was a lot lower than I would have liked it to be because my internal state was not calibrated properly, right? So my inner environment, I was thinking confusing, self-limiting thoughts. You know, I can't do this. Why am I not performing to the best of my abilities? And just feeling kind of lost and feeling upset. And it was generating confusing, upsetting emotions. And when I changed my thinking patterns to, I can do this, I got this, like, this is all me, you know, or like other types of positive affirmations like that, my emotional state started to shift, and it actually shifted my performance. I found my body was actually more ready to go, more amped up and more excited. So what I would like to read a quote here that I quote in my book in this chapter, Understanding Your Inner Energies, Thoughts and Emotions. And it goes as follows. Your thoughts generate your beliefs. Your beliefs generate your emotions. And your emotions generate your experiences, and your experiences generate your life. Therefore, if you change your thoughts, you can change your life. And I'd like to quickly call out Caleb here, who is a basketball coach and was a player for the longest time. What can you say to that? You know, you're working with a kid who has so much skill and talent. His thoughts and emotions might be down on himself, you know, not performing to the best of his abilities. Anything you want to say on that?
Yeah, find sprints. Run him. Run him, Caleb. Run him.
Yes, actually, I believe, you know, sometimes I feel like at that age, they're very too serious. You know, instead of just being a pretty much a child, even though they're an adult at 18, but still, you're still a child, especially in through the mind mentally. But I believe, you know, just that's why it's important to have someone in your corner, someone in your circle, like a mentor or, you know, or your parents, someone to talk to, speak with about those type of things. Because, you know, at some point we've all at that age had doubts, if we were good enough or if we can do this or do that. And, you know, I think that it's important to have someone in your corner to continue to push you, you know, cause not everyone's as mentally strong as someone, you know, just everyone's not the same. Everyone's not the same.
What I would say to that is, this is just for any young athletes listening, is The one quick tool I'd like to give them is what I used to do is anytime I felt worried or doubted or myself or confused on the ice is I would just start repeating my jersey number 29, 29, 29 over and over again. And I just start to lock right back in. And that's kind of, you know, divert mm-hmm. mind from all those doubtful thoughts, those worried thoughts, and just locking right in and focusing up. And I recommend that to anyone. So
woo! What I would nice. Do is I would keep saying 18-year-old's guide to self-mastery, 18-year-old guide to self-mastery, 18-year-old guide to self-mastery. Okay? Woo! We'll see you next week, Santa Barbara. God bless.
I'm unstoppable. I'm a butcher with